Yesterday, people were gathered around the big screen for the game of the year, featuring America's most watched sporting event, and fans consumed huge quantities of beer, nachos, and wings. Yes, America has a love affair with the Super Bowl, but we're just as crazy about the commercials, the big game ads that occupy some of the most expensive advertising real estate there is. Is the multi-million dollar price tag really worth it? And do ads that titillate, offend, and entertain actually sell products? I'm Susan Wilson, and today we'll ask a trio of advertising experts to play Monday morning quarterback as we talk about these questions and the commercials that dazzled or disappointed. This right after the news. Super Bowl 48, America's must-see televised sports extravaganza, is all but a memory. Over 100 million viewers tuned in to root for their favorite teams, or so we thought. It's hard to believe, but studies show that about half of the Super Bowl audiences watch the game just to see the ads. From beer to soft drinks and cars, companies spend millions to capture the imagination and dollars of Super Bowl fans. I'm Susan Wilson, and today on Central Standard, we ask, what ads charmed and delighted, and which commercials fell flat, irritated, or maybe even outraged? And what do our reactions tell us about ourselves? For insight, we have with us John January, Executive Creative Director at Sullivan, Higdon, and Sink. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And also with us, Nicole Melton, producer at BIC Media. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
So before we even get started, we want you to think about and we want to hear from you about your favorite ads. What were your favorite Super Bowl commercials? What ads made you laugh, tugged at your heartstrings, or made you just plain mad? Call us at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. So every year, here we are, we always are waiting for the Super Bowl ads to come out. When did this whole Super Bowl ad thing, John, become such a big deal?
Well, I think it broke into the cultural zeitgeist with a real classic spot called 1984, Apple's 1984 spot. And I think that was the spot that changed the way people really felt about Super Bowl advertising, because it was one of those moments where, as a country, we were sort of sitting around watching this football game, and then this amazing ad came on, and nobody was even really sure what it said. And in fact, Apple tried to cancel that spot two or three times. It almost never happened, but it really put Apple on the map, and it put what a really powerful Super Bowl ad can do on the map. And so, in my opinion, that's sort of where it really got its start.
Now, Nicole, this year it seems like from everything I've been reading since last night, people agree that advertisers kind of played it safe this year. There were no big pows and dazzles like some years. Do you agree?
I do agree with that. And, you know, as what John was just saying, I didn't see anything last night that was 1984. but, yeah, I think that they did kind of play it safe. And, you know, John and I were talking earlier, and it felt like there was a theme of America, and then there's a theme of bears. So we saw a lot of bears. Yeah. So, but, yeah, I think that maybe played it safe.
Now, also joining us is Jay Anthony Snorgrass, Associate Professor of Advertising, Branding, and Strategic Media at Avila University. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, let me ask you this, Mr. Snorgrass. If I'm a marketing firm, you know, year after year looking at the commercials, isn't it kind of hard to top last year's commercial? I mean, if you're a marketeer, how do you go about approaching what seems like a monumental task to be even better than you were last year and better than your competition?
You know, that's the challenge that actually advertisers confront each and every year. If you're so good in one year, that next year you've got an artificial bar that you've got to raise above. Now, this year I think there were some difficulties because, quite honestly, this was probably the worst year of Super Bowl ads I have seen in my life.
Now, why do you say the worst?
The worst. Well, number one, I don't think there were any innovations pushing the envelope, the kinds of things that we've seen in years past. And in fact, I don't think there's any epic ads that we'll be talking about 10 years from now that aired last night.
Now, why do you think that was?
Well,
do you think advertisers are running out of steam in terms of creative ideas? Never that, right?
Well, you asked me that. Well, you know, I think $4 million is a very huge investment. And if you look at it from the standpoint of many ads, $4 million for 30 seconds actually ran 90 seconds to 120 seconds. With that huge an investment, I think there's a certain risk bar that people do not want to cross. Let's not waste $12 million. So I think that financial factor has a lot to do with pushing the envelope.
I think it's worth noting, too, that when you're talking about the cost of a Super Bowl ad, you're really not just talking about the cost of the media. I mean, we talk about that $4 million number, but some of those commercials, I mean, Nicole, you tell me, some of those commercials had million-dollar production budgets.
Oh, exactly.
And then, of course, the creators of the ads and the actors and the crews that help make them, all of you have to pay for all of that as well.
Multi-million-dollar deals.
There's a lot on the line, and it's the kind of thing that affects stock prices. It's the kind of thing that affects careers. So, you know, there's a lot of challenge that goes with a Super Bowl ad.
Now, speaking of the cost of these ads, which, as you just pointed out, is way more than the cost of the time slot. People, it begs the question, is it really worth it? I mean, do they really sell enough product to justify that kind of ad outlay, Nicole?
Boy, you know, this is kind of the way that I look at the advertising around the Super Bowl. I always think, and please, gentlemen, jump in here because, you know, please. You know, I always feel like the Super Bowl is, I mean, it's a cultural event. You know, and so I always feel like it might not be that I'm trying to sell so many pizzas or so many, like I'm not measuring it that way. I feel like it's a bigger branding issue of creating
a relationship.
A relationship,
right.
You know. So in regards to is it worth it, I think it depends on the brand. It depends on, you know, what you're kind of going for. I always think it's worth it. You know,
I would say, you know, I know we're on the radio today, but when it comes to commanding people's attention, you know, TV is still the boss, and
yes,
live sports in particular is the boss. But these prices are getting to the point where it's getting harder and harder to say, yes, it's absolutely,
right,
from a dollars and cents standpoint, worth it. However, I do think that the Super Bowl is not right for every brand,
right?
But for some of the really big, powerful brands, it's a good place for them to, again, sort of remind people why they're mm-hmm. part of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say not right for every brand, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think there are some brands that wouldn't play very well on the Super Bowl. Brands that don't necessarily have a consumer spend to them, for instance, or, you know, small, you know, more handcrafted. You know, we're seeing a lot of movement toward local, you know, smaller brands, craft brands.
Right.
Not all of those seem at home on the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. So, Anthony, what brands specifically do you think play well on the Super Bowl screens?
Well, you know, I'd first like to challenge what is a Super Bowl ad, because it used to be they aired during the Super Bowl. But now we have pre-releases months before. We have lead-ins that are released, so the storyline continues. I think there's a commitment by many brands. If you've been at the Super Bowl, the absence that next year sort of creates a what's going on with you? Are there problems? So there's a commitment that many advertisers continue to show up, maybe even when they shouldn't. Now, I think some of the major brands, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, even to the extent of your automobiles, Chevy, Chrysler, I think they are there and will always be there.
To your point that if they don't show up, then that might say something about the strength of their brand or their pocketbook even.
True.
Or their financial condition.
Which starts affecting those stock prices that we talked about
earlier. Right. Yeah, we're no longer the biggest kid on the block here.
So we're listening to KCUR on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Susan Wilson. Our guests are John January, Executive Creative Director at Sullivan, Higdon & Sink, Nicole Melton, Producer at Big Media, J. Anthony Snorgrass, Associate Professor of Advertising, Branding, and Strategic Media at Avila University. We're discussing your picks and our picks and pans, along with the advertisements shown during Super Bowl 48. Kansas City, what ads were especially memorable to you or motivated you to consider buying a product? Join the conversation by calling us 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. Or email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. Now, one ad that people were talking about featured one of our favorites, Tim Tebow, the T-Mobile ad. Let's take a listen to that clip.
Hey, Tim Tebow here. Still no contract, but it's all good. Without a contract, I can do my own stunts. I can save these puppies.
Contracts hold you back!
And I can tour the world.
You might want to hold on to those donuts.
Bottom line, contracts hold you back.
Switch to T-Mobile and we'll buy you out of yours.
And, you know, I guess you could put this ad in the category of a funny category of ad, because the idea of Tim Tebow getting out of his contract or not having a contract was used to kind of create some comic relief there. What are your thoughts about this ad? Did it work?
Well, this was actually one of my favorite ads of the Super Bowl. I didn't have a clear number one spot of the group, but this was sort of in my set of favorites that at least I responded to. I think what makes it work is the self-depreciation. I think it's really good not only for the T-Mobile brand, and P.S., they did something a little different. They actually made an offer on the Super Bowl, so it wasn't just an exact, you know, brand play. They're actually saying, hey, take some action. So that'll be interesting to see how that worked for them. But I think that's a key part of that spot. But I think beyond it being good for the T-Mobile brand, I think it's good for the Tim Tebow brand. He was funny. He was self-depreciating.
He was funny.
And I think that self-depreciation is really charming. America responds to that. And I thought it made a great point about what they're selling.
It was one of the few ads that actually had a call to action. Ask its listeners, its viewers to do something. So I agree. It was a good ad from that standpoint. I also think it hearkened of the Bo Knows advertising series where you see a celebrity in various scenarios. So I think it did have some power in that respect as well.
Nicole, how do you weigh in on this one?
Yeah, I totally agree. It was good for T-Mobile, and it was probably even better for Tim Tebow. So,
well, and I think to your point, you left that commercial with no contract in your mind with regard to T-Mobile, the brand, which I think is better than some of the commercials where you're left wondering, what are they really selling?
Mm-hmm.
So another one that a lot of people were talking about was the the Volkswagen Wings commercial. Let's take a listen to that clip right now.
It actually looked 100,000 miles.
So?
It's a big deal. What if I told you that every time a Volkswagen hits 100,000 miles, a German engineer gets his wings?
Doobie doobie. Doobie doobie. Doobie doobie. Doobie doobie. Doobie doobie. Doobie doobie. Doobie doobie.
I hate these wingy thingies.
Yeah, Dad, and I'm sure at 200,000 miles, rainbows shoot out of their butts. Volkswagen has the most vehicles on the road with over 100,000 miles. That's the power of German engineering.
Well, so what did we think of this one, Anthony? What were your thoughts?
Catchy tune. However, I think it paled in comparison to Volkswagen's other ads in the past. And in addition, I didn't see any diversity in folks who got wings, so I think there's a little issue concerned with that as well.
Huh. Now, that's an angle we hadn't thought about, but yeah, all the engineers were not of color.
Male and male.
Okay. Pale and male.
I didn't say that.
How about you, John?
You know, I have to agree. I it wasn't my favorite comparison to other Volkswagen ads. And people who know me know I'm an absolute Star Wars geek, so they're ad of a few years ago with the Darth Vader kid and then the play on that. You know, I thought both those were really great spots. Now, I will say I did feel like this spot at least made a point about Volkswagen. It made a very specific point. Did it in a memorable way. And, you know, in looking at the reaction online last night, a lot of people liked the spot. It just wasn't one of my personal favorites.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. Where I was, there was an older person there who objected to the young person talking about the rainbow shooting. Do you think?
Oh, I like that part.
Do you think that phrase was objectionable, or do you think now in today's pop culture people say a lot of things about body parts and? What do you think, Nicole?
Yeah, it didn't bother me, and I think you're right. In today's culture, I mean, it may not be right that we can say these kind of things, but it, you know, you can kind of get away with it.
Well, I have an 11-year-old, and I thought it was actually pretty accurate portrayal of the way 11-year-olds think. So
exactly.
Also had some interesting product placement in that ad as well, because the daughter seemed to be communicating while she was talking to her father on another device that did not advertise in the Super Bowl.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So product placement is always good from a marketing standpoint, right? Well, let's take one of our callers, Stacy from Olathe. Good morning, Stacy. Welcome to Central Standard. You had a comment about Coke.
Good morning. Hi. My comment had to do with the Coca-Cola commercial about This Is America, specifically contrasting it with the God Made a Farmer ad from last year's Super Bowl. And I really appreciated the diversity that was shown in the picture, how they're singing the national anthem, or not the national anthem, but singing in different languages and showing different cultures and just showing the inclusiveness that really makes up America, specifically in contrasting it to the God Made a Farmer commercial. It didn't make me want to buy Coke, but I liked the commercial, so.
So Stacy says did make her want to buy Coke because it was one of those commercials. You could see the product placement, but it wasn't doing a hard sell for Coke. Let's listen to it.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies.
Por tus olas de granos tambar.
Your peace in the tzakuti.
Soy babaw ng mga prutas.
America, America, God shed His grace on thee. Aur bahi jare ke saath taaj tera cha. Tu la mera, la mer priya.
Now, we've been talking about ads that were funny, but this kind of more goes in the heartstrings, inspirational category. Effective or not? Anthony?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought the ad really caught my attention during the Super Bowl. I heard a lot of criticism yesterday evening about the ad, though, because the criticism was that the national anthem is supposed to only be sung in English. However, that's not the national anthem, is it?
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Right.
You know, I think Coke is one of the few brands that can tell a story like this. It's a clearly American brand, but it's also a global brand. And I think this is a – if you think about the history of Coke's advertising, this is a cousin to I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing. This is – you know, this is part of what Coca-Cola has been about for a long time. And so this is a story that Coca-Cola can tell.
Right. I totally agree.
Now, was there a risk, though, with this commercial? And you know, Coke is a very known brand, but from a marketing technique standpoint, is there a risk that people just don't get the idea that they're supposed to buy more Coke?
Well, I think Coke is one of the – again, it's very clearly not a direct response kind of ad. This is about reinforcing what – you know, what the Coca-Cola brand is all about and why it's a part of our life. Now, that said, I think it's interesting that you bring that up, because last night I was talking to some other advertising people on Twitter, and they even felt maybe the connection's not completely there. So but to me it sort of played on the melting pot idea of America and Coke being part of the fabric of America too. So it worked for me.
And I was just happy to see them get away from the Bears.
Yeah. Well, and to your earlier point, it did seem to be a commercial that had a lot of diversity in language as well as as the people that they had in this ad.
I thought it was beautiful.
Now, one of the advertisers that people tend to love to hate in the Super Bowl is GoDaddy. They are known for their outrageous ads. Let's listen to a clip from the ad last night.
Yeah! Good morning! It's a beauteous day, a wondrous day. The flowers bloom and the animals play. The sun peeks out and I need to shout in a hap, hap, happy way. It's a beauteous, wondrous, simply scrumptious day.
It's go time.
It's a beauteous, wondrous, simply scrumptious day.
Now, for our listeners who can't see the ad and there are just did not see the ad, what they're picturing here are a bunch of bodybuilders, well-toned, running, and then you don't realize until later they're running toward a spray tan business because they the owners use a GoDaddy platform to advertise her business. A lot of beefcake in that ad. Right, John?
Yeah, I'll say this. And actually, GoDaddy had two spots. They had a spot in the first half where a woman quit her job, you know, ostensibly right there on the Super Bowl in front of 100 million people, as they said. So here's the part we're celebrating about both those ads. They're just so much better and so much more grown up than anything GoDaddy has ever done before.
Yay!
And so we're all just like I can't help but sit here and go, oh, I'm so happy just to see them not go down their sort of juvenile path that they've gone before. And I actually thought both were interesting spots.
Right.
But if your brand is built on juvenile, you should stay juvenile. I was extremely disappointed in this series of ads by GoDaddy. Had they gone back to their brand and stayed where they were, challenge us. Give us something to talk about on Monday. Oh, we are talking about it Monday morning. Yeah. On Tuesday morning, I think I would have been a little happier with them. So I was a little disappointed with their ads.
So you don't think that the bodybuilding bodies running were enough to really titillate people enough to talk about it as much as they would have had they been more provocative, right?
No, I like the actress in front of the Senate hearing kind of stuff.
Okay. Nicole, you were going to say.
No, I was just going to ask. So you kind of felt like it was a little evolution. You would have felt better if they would have stayed back.
I wouldn't call it evolution. I think they've been co-opted to become commercial as opposed to cutting edge.
Okay.
But isn't this a tough line for companies like a GoDaddy who's made their bread and butter on being provocative that – sometimes maybe you stir up so much controversy that there might be people at the company who say, well, let's play it a little safer. And then, as you say, maybe that's not as effective.
Yeah, I just feel like what they for me and you know that's something I think is worth recognizing is that you know advertising is after all a subjective business. It's at least part art, so that kind of comes through it. But for me, I just could never take GoDaddy seriously. And I just felt it's just not someplace that I wanted to spend my money with them before. So at least with this, I felt like there was a stronger tie to what they did, and I could at least accept them as a brand that I could have on my personal consideration set. But every consumer's got to make that choice, and you know what's funny to somebody is going to be offensive to somebody else, and you just got to find where that balance is.
John and I had a little foray last night on email about this particular ad. And I think with GoDaddy, they don't have a target audience that necessarily grows with them. I don't have GoDaddy behind my business name. Their audience is very targeted and different every year. So to stay young, they've got to stay on the edge. If they try to grow with us, we're probably not going to use GoDaddy anyway. Sorry, GoDaddy.
You mean different every year because the market changes, who is looking for that kind of product changes?
Yes, their age demo. Uh-huh. You know, it's going to be 18 to 24 there. Mm-hmm. Free or low-cost website. Most of your businesses are not going to use GoDaddy.
Right, right. How about you, Nicole? Do you think they played it too safe this year?
You know, it always seems like in the past I've always been just, you know, annoyed or embarrassed or something with GoDaddy. And this one, after I watched specifically the beefcake one, I remember thinking, okay, that wasn't as torturous as what I feel like it's been in the past.
We're going to take a short break. When we return, Central Standard returns in just a minute. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Susan Wilson. Our guests today are John January, Executive Creative Director at Sullivan, Higdon and Sink, Nicole Melton, producer at Bic Media, and J. Anthony Snorgrass, Associate Professor of Advertising, Branding, and Strategic Media at Avila University. We're talking about yesterday's Super Bowl ads. And Kansas City, give us a call with your picks and pans. What did you like about the Super Bowl ads yesterday, or what didn't you like? Join the conversation by calling us 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888, or email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. Now, one of the ads that I kind of had a question mark about, although it was meant to be funny, was the ad featuring Terry Crew. What did you think about that ad? It showed, you know, Terry Crew, who is a strong man, you know, often portrays, you know, these big guys that hurt other people, juxtaposed with the Muppets. Let's listen to the clip.
Anybody need help?
Mighty nice of you, Padre.
Sweet Highlander.
Drums! Ooh. Drums!
No.
Drums!
Can somebody change the station?
Music terrible.
Dios mio, this music is melting my brain again.
We got a whole flock of chickens and a grand piano. Ooh, a drum kit and an organ too.
Da-da. And there's a whole bunch of women playing bingo in the gym. And we can show them all a thing or two.
But we ain't got no room for boring.
Like, that's just too much space to consume.
No, we ain't got no room for boring. For boring, we ain't got no room.
Are you doing all right there, fella?
They were singing vegetables and chickens.
Yeah, happens to me all the time.
The all-new Highlander. Toyota.
Let's go places!
Now, of course, the ad ends with Terry. You know, his tie is all around his neck. His shirt is half off because all these Muppets are doing all kinds of things. But what did you think about that ad? Was it effective in selling Toyota as a brand, Anthony?
Oh, you see me moving. Well, I think it was a total waste of celebrity, number one. Muppets can do it on their own. They didn't need him for that. So right. That check was easy money. I don't think it helped at all in terms of reinforcing Toyota's brand of reliability. Fun is not really Toyota's calling.
Right. How about you, Nicole?
Yeah, that was a head scratcher for me. You're exactly right. The waste of celebrity, because he's fantastic. And then we paired him with the Muppets. Although I love the Muppets. Don't get me wrong. I love the Muppets. But I didn't, for some reason, this just didn't, I kind of didn't know what they were going for. And
yeah, I think to some of our points earlier, you know, too often I think we try to say, well, something ought to be 100% liked. That's really the goal. We really want, well, that's never going to happen, right?
Right.
So in actuality, what's really effective when it comes to advertising is advertising that polarizes people. You're going to have a whole bunch of people that really love it. You're going to have a whole bunch of people that maybe don't love it so much, but at least you've got people mm-hmm. thinking about it, talking about it, reacting to it. This is the kind of spot that blended into the background at the Super Bowl party I was at,
mm-hmm.
and it I didn't hear it really. It was one of those things where I couldn't really hear it,
right.
But it didn't interest me enough for me to go back and spend more time with it.
Yeah, I mean, I did not come away with this myself with a strong brand message. And I think a good gauge at a Super Bowl party is when people actually stop what they're doing and listen to a commercial. And
yeah.
And this was not one that happened, in my estimation.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they always say that sex sells. So Oikos Yogurt, I think, used that formula. Let's listen to a clip from the yogurt commercial Oikos did.
You got something on your right here.
Oops. I did it again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Take off your pants, Greek boy.
Huh? You heard the man.
Take those pants off. That's going to stain.
Danone Oikos Greek Yogurt. Fuel your pleasure.
No, please. Don't leave me alone with them.
She wasn't good for us anyway.
So anyone who want to describe what's going on there for listeners who didn't see it?
But I'll do my best.
Okay.
John Stamos is eating yogurt using a spoon. He rather cautiously or intentionally spills some. Well, first he spills some on his lip, to which the lady licks it off of him. So he accidentally then spills some on his lap. And before the story could go forward, his team from Full House comes in to clean it up, primarily because that was what they were known for. Wasn't he a clean freak in the show back in Full House?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it busted up the scene.
Well, and
that's
also
the best description I have. Can you help me?
And also, no, you know, I think the people talked about it being a bromance, that no woman is coming between these guys as well. Mm-hmm. So was it effective in selling a yogurt?
Well, I think it's interesting. I thought that was the better spot of the two different yogurt spots, because there was another one. But
mm-hmm.
I think it had a lot of borrowed interest from Full. I don't know how many fans of Full House are still out there. You know, I at least had some people. You know, that was one of the spots that was out beforehand, which is something we can spend some time talking about at some point during the show about the sort of the preview nature and of what's going on with the spots now the week before. But this is one of those spots that was out there before.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually ran into a lot of people that were like, who are those guys?
Who is that?
Yeah.
That's funny.
So
yeah.
I think you kind of have to know that to enjoy the spot.
And yeah. The interesting point, not to cut you, but I showed this to my class. Demo 1822. They fell out laughing. So Full House was obviously
part of their
resonated
youth,
with
right,
them.
Right. Yeah.
Didn't.
So I guess
me, but with them.
It depends on what demographic, you know, different things
mm-hmm.
appeal to different demographics.
Mm-hmm. So then it has me question, so then why was Oikos so awesome? And then Chobani, it felt like it just kind of fell flat with the bear and the, you know, but there's a part of me that I like that one too. You know?
Yeah, Chobani had the commercial about the bear that goes into a country store.
Yeah.
But Yeah, you're right. I mean,
but I thought that was kind of funny, though, too. You know, I guess between the two, I definitely would pick the John Stamos one. But
maybe
I didn't mind
Chobani
either. Well, it does.
Well, I think you had, by the way, I always argue that sex doesn't sell, anticipated sex sells. But I think what you had was the situation of sexual innuendo with millennial nostalgia. And those two things together are what made that work.
Let's take a call from Terry from Topeka. Good morning, Terry. Welcome to Central Standards. You had a comment about the Chrysler ad.
Yes. Good morning. I'm enjoying your show this morning. It's great. My favorite commercial was the Bob Dylan ad. I couldn't believe, in the first place, I couldn't believe I was seeing Bob Dylan on a Super Bowl commercial. And second thing, I just thought it was great.
Now,
everything about it.
Now, Terry, for you, was it the commercial itself or the fact Bob Dylan was in it? And that's something you just don't see, Bob Dylan narrating something commercial. Which one worked
first
for you?
First of all, for me, the commercial itself I thought was outstanding. Just the pictures that he showed, the lyric of it. Also, I didn't think about this at the time, but after I thought about it, I realized that it's the 50th anniversary of the British invasion of music. And Bob Dylan, of course, was one of the original American icons. And I just thought it was, I don't know if that was intentional, but I did think it was a special little irony to the commercial. But I just loved it. Loved everything about it.
Well, let's listen to a clip of this commercial.
Is there anything more American than America? Because you can't import original. You can't fake true cool. You can't duplicate legacy. Because what Detroit created was a first and became an inspiration to the rest of the world. Yeah, Detroit made cars, and cars made America. Making the best, making the finest, takes conviction. And you can't import the heart and soul of every man and woman working on the line. You can search the world over for the finer things, but you won't find a match for the American road and the creatures that live on it. Because we believe in the zoom and the roar and the thrust. And when it's made here, it's made with the one thing you can't import from anywhere else. American pride. So let Germany brew your beer. Let Switzerland make your watch. Let Asia assemble your phone. We will build your car.
Things are
shattered.
You know, I must say that was a favorite for me because I was just so surprised and shocked to see Bob Dylan on a commercial because his reputation has always been anti anything commercial. John, what did you think about this commercial?
Well, a few observations on it. One, I come from a copywriting background, so. For the copywriter in me, that the writing is on this is really sharp and really great, and I really emotionally responded to that. Now, this is an example of one of those ads that we were talking about earlier that is polarizing. People, not everyone, like seeing Dylan in that position. They didn't like him selling. That was one part of some of the reaction that came off the ad. Another part of the reaction is that Chrysler is actually owned by Fiat. So the ownership of the brand is not American. So they're playing toward that now. Right. You know, those things you know are part of the conversation in and around that spot. But I do think it's worth noting that's not Dylan's first spot. He was in an Apple commercial, and mm-hmm. I believe he's done another car commercial, mm-hmm. right. if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember which one, but yeah,
I think it was Cadillac, but I could be mistaken on that. So he's actually kind of, you know, the times have changed for Bob there, mm-hmm. and he's more open to it. But you know, that was there. This again had it was a spot that had a lot of mixed reactions last night.
Mm-hmm. So to your point, the same fans that were angry about him playing electric guitar would be stirred up by seeing him do a commercial. Anthony, you were reacting to this commercial.
Yeah, everybody's head was bopping here in the studio, so mm-hmm. I know the song resonated quite well. 2 points. Number one, Dylan had another piece in the Chobani ad because his I Want You 1966 right. classic played in that ad as well. I liked the ad from the very beginning. I fell in love with the ad when I watched the imagery of the ad and actually saw the person who inspired my Dr. J moniker there in the mm-hmm. ad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were a lot of really powerful images in the ad itself. Yeah.
It felt big. It felt epic. And quite honestly, last night when I watched it, the first thing I thought of when I was listening to it was, I can't wait to hear what January thinks, you know, because it was beautifully written. Well,
the story of the Detroit comeback is, yeah. I think, one that's really easy to embrace. So for me, I was able to overlook the things that people sort of were getting stirred up about and just right. sort of appreciate it for what it was.
Yeah.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on kcur.org. I'm Susan Wilson, and our guests are John January, Executive Creative Director of Sullivan, Higdon & Sink, Nicole Melton, producer at Bic Media, and J. Anthony Snorgrass, Associate Professor of Advertising at Avila University. What did you think about – now, one of the other controversial ads last year was the ad about little Gracie. And that ad, believe it or not, even in spite of the controversy last year, was back again this year. And so let's listen to a clip.
Hey, Gracie. You know how our family has Daddy and Mommy?
And me.
Yeah, that's right. Pretty soon, you're gonna have a baby brother.
And a puppy.
Deal.
As they use Cheerios to add up the number of people on the pushing them across the table. Effective, Nicole?
Yeah. I mean, I love that spot, and I love that little girl, and I love her little sassy and a puppy. You know, I thought it was fantastic.
But does it sell cereal?
You know, I don't know if it will equate to boxes coming off the shelf, you know, per se. But it has that thing where when I go into the store and I'm walking down the aisle and I see Cheerios, you know, I'm going to be thinking about that. You know, it automatically will have that warm feeling. Maybe that was.
Yeah, I what Cheerios is doing there is Cheerios saying we're about family. Mm-hmm. And if it, you know, particularly, you know, when you have young kids in the house, you know, Cheerios are a real part of your life from the time that they're little, you know, and they kind of grow up with your kids. So it's a beautifully acted, beautifully shot commercial, and it breaks the norm of super. I mean, you know, Super Bowl advertising is over the top, and it's big, mm-hmm. and it's epic, and mm-hmm. and this was just a very quiet slice of life, and so I'm eager to see critically acclaimed. I mean, across the board, I think everybody really thought the spot was great. Just kind of, you know, eager to see how the reaction plays out.
Right,
I like the ad as well. I think I'm just happy to see that Cheerios didn't get scared off by all of the complaints and criticisms from last year, they came right back, and they stayed true to their brand. If you remember the grandma taking the trip to Dallas, counting how many miles with the Cheerios, they have stayed in that storytelling mode, and I think that has proven to be quite effective for them.
Well, for those who may not remember, this commercial features an interracial family, and that's what spurred last year's controversy. So was anybody surprised that Cheerios, General Mills, came back with the ad in spite of the controversy? Or is the controversy itself part of what sells?
Again, it's part of that polarization sort of play, and I think it's Cheerios taking a stand.
What stand?
Well, I think just to their point, they're not going to change, the casting of this family because of complaints.
All right. So Microsoft had a popular commercial. Let's listen to a clip.
What is technology? What can it do?
When I lost my eyesight, I thought that my painting days were over.
How far can we go?
By using your hands, you can actually control your x-ray.
Technology has the power to unite us.
Hang on, honey. Hang on.
There he is.
You see him?
I can do. It inspires us. Technology has taken us places we've only dreamed.
Now I can do whatever I want.
It gives hope to the hopeless.
Can you hear me talking?
And it has given voice to the voiceless.
So what about this one? I thought this put a warm face on technology, which is often seen as cold. What about you, Anthony?
Strong, simple, direct. My wife works in the industry of adaptive technology, so she was very, very moved by this one, as was I.
John?
Yeah, I think the imagery is really what makes this ad powerful. And I'm an avowed Apple fanboy. You know, but I absolutely loved Microsoft. I love this from Microsoft, and I agree with you. It was very human, and I found it very inspiring. I thought it was a great brand message for Microsoft on this platform.
Right, I totally agree. It was very simple. It was beautiful. It just nailed it.
Well, let's take a call from Marion, who has a question for our marketing experts. Good morning, Marion.
Good morning.
You have a question.
I do. I understand that there is a positive correlation between advertisements and sales, but is there any proof that there is actually causality between the two?
And that's a good question.
Research.
I'll take my answer off the air.
So, yeah, do all these ads sell product? What's the correlation between the two?
Well, I think that there is research that suggests that there are corollary benefits between the advertisements that run and the sales over a period of time. But again, most of the Super Bowl ads are about branding, name recognition, and that hopefully and eventually will increase sales. So I like to differentiate between advertisements and commercials. I think commercials are there to strengthen commerce and exchange, where advertisements are there to actually create and sustain a brand.
Important distinction. John, how about you?
Yeah, I agree. That's the theory that, you know, branding reinforces a choice that you've made. It says, you know, it keeps away buyer's remorse. It says, hey, I'm glad I made that choice. I'm glad. And really, brands end up being helping us make statements about ourselves. That's how this all begins to play. Certain brands feel right for some people, and other brands feel right for other people. It becomes part of our self-expression. So that's where this begins to play. And so it may not make something fly off the shelf immediately, but it becomes part of our life and part of our self-expression.
Now, one of the clips that one of the commercials that I heard people talking a lot about was pistachio commercial. Let's play that one for a second.
Folks, evidently sales of pistachios have not skyrocketed in the last 30 seconds due to a lack of branding. Well, let's take care of that. Pistachio, pistachio. Wait for it. Pistachio.
Now, this is one where Stephen Colbert is featured, and the shell around his head cracks open, and there's Stephen's green head. And we actually have a caller, and I think we won't have time to take them, Rasia, but they say that this ad was scary. Now, what do you say, Anthony?
It was green. It was branded green.
What about you, John?
Well, I know what the caller's talking about. Listen, this is one of those uses of celebrity, right? That this spot to me was kind of all about Colbert, and that's been part of the ongoing pistachio thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it because it was Colbert.
And it spoke to our industry too. Branding.
Branding.
Right. Exactly.
So very quickly, if you had to pick one, which would be your favorite, Anthony?
I'm sticking with Chevy Life. No words. Sorry, John.
That was the one for cancer.
Right.
How about you, John?
I didn't have a real clear winner. One of the spots we didn't talk about that I really liked would have been Radio Shack.
Radio Shack.
Oh, that was a great
so
commercial.
Good.
And that's, as I reflected on it last night, I think that's the one that I kind of came back to more than any of the others.
Yeah.
And how about you, Nicole?
I'm so torn. Ooh, Radio Shack. Okay, Audi.
Audi. Well, we need to leave it right there for now. I would like to thank our guest, John January, Executive Creative Director at Sullivan, Higdon & Sink, Nicole Melton, Producer at BIC Media, J. Anthony Snorgrass, Associate Professor of Advertising, Branding, and Strategic Media at Avila University. You can subscribe to our podcast, hear this conversation again, or access any of our previous shows from the Central Standard page of KCUR.org. Central Standard returns tomorrow with an update to developments in an expansive farm bill and a look at sexual assault on college campuses. Stay with us for up to date and an update from the Healthcare Foundation of Greater Kansas City on Sebelius's visit today to Kansas City. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Suzanne Hogan with Kate Baxendale. I'm Susan Wilson, and this is KCUR. Keep listening.